KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
It is now my pleasure to welcome via the phone our New Mexico Republican Party Chairman, Congressman Steve Pierce. Congressman Pierce, how are you?
I'm doing well. Was getting a lot of background noise before, but I think it's settled down.
Okay. Well, I apologize. Sometimes we are a little technology challenged around here. Congressman, you were a big star on the stage at the Republican National Convention. Tell us about your role in the convention.
Well, first of all, we had a legal responsibility to nominate the president officially, and it had to be done in Charlotte. That's the reason that you at one point saw a piece of the convention was going to be in Jacksonville. Then the president said, wait, that's too risky. We're not going to do that. So we still had to do the piece in Charlotte. And so that was nominate the president. And that's where you saw that as a state party chair, I stood up to nominate the president, and that you get 60 seconds to nominate. And anyway, it's always a fun time. We had six people from every state gather in Charlotte. In normal conventions, it's about 20,000 to 30,000 people. And so we had less than 1,000, but there was still a lot of energy in the room, a lot of excitement. People recognize the significance of this election. They recognize that the president is doing a good job following up on his promises, and so a lot of passion, a lot of excitement on our side. The enthusiasm gap for Joe Biden as people are supporting him, but they're not very enthusiastic, and so that enthusiasm gap is probably one of the most powerful things working for the president right now.
Congressman Pierce, you have a little bit different perspective than most of us. I will call us regular citizens. You actually have occasion, and maybe more frequently than I know, you get to speak to the president and the vice president and other leaders in Congress on both sides of the aisle. How is our perspective maybe tainted because we don't have that opportunity?
It varies with individuals. So I can tell you that Mike Pence is exactly the same way off camera as he is on camera. Strong believer and just a humble, gracious, good guy. His first speeches were that he says, most people want to know what I think, you know, when he was first picked to be the vice presidential candidate with candidate Trump before the election 2016, and he said, well, my first response is, how in the world did I get in this position? And so it's just he's got a self-deprecating sense of humor. Mark Meadows, chief of staff for the president, is very quiet, very gracious, very thoughtful. He researches, he pays attention, and he takes a stand on principle, and he doesn't waver from it. He did probably the most difficult thing I've ever seen done in Congress. He filed a particular motion on the floor of the House, which put Speaker Boehner at risk of being voted out at any point. That's when Speaker Boehner simply decided to retire and walk away rather than trying to sort through the problems. But that was Mark Meadows filled that out. And before filling out that motion on the floor of the House, He was very prayerful for a long period of time, talked about it and discussed it with those of us who are close to him. Jim Jordan, again, very, very similar to the guy you see on TV. The president, he's actually much more disarming in person than on TV. When he gets off script, he's funny. He is passionate. And so I approached he was talking to us one day, very shortly after his election, and by us, the Republicans in Congress, we had a meeting room downstairs. He came in and so he was, had a speech all ready to his staff had prepared, and he pulled it up, put it in his pocket, said, hey, man, let's just talk. And so he covered a lot of stuff. And at one point, somebody asked him about his faith, and he said, look, I didn't grow up with all that stuff about the Bible. He said, we didn't even talk about it. We didn't go to church. And he said, but Mike Pence had been reading from that book on the plane, and he said a lot of what it says makes some sense. He said, so I'm kind of late coming to the game, but forgive me. He said, a lot of the stuff you've seen about me is pretty accurate. He said, that's just who I was. And he said, I can't apologize. That's who I was. And I'm trying to change many of those things. So he's a very disarming, Kellyanne Conway, again, very, very similar in person to what you see. And I'm hating for the Trump team to lose her because she was a voice of stability when his campaign was floundering pretty badly. Just about this time, 4 years ago, they were floundering and she came in and just went to work and stabilized the ship, got the message right. And so I really hate to see her leave, but they've come up with a lot of people. Many times you get people who act one way when they stand in the TV camera and then they act much different when they're off camera. But those Republicans that I just mentioned are very sincere. Kristi Noem, she's the governor of South Carolina or South Dakota, and she is really being viewed as a rising star right now. Again, what you see on TV, that's who she is. She's quiet. She's calm. She grew up on a ranch. She and her husband own a ranch. Their kids ranch. I mean, they get out and they work the cows. This is when you live like that, you have an understanding about life that can't be duplicated by people who are just all they've ever done is get elected to office and just stay in one office or the next. And so, Kristi Noem is just a bright star.
Congressman, I want to skip down my list a little bit because you've just mentioned on a national level several really strong women that are involved in politics. And I know that the Republican Party of New Mexico has a lot of women running for state offices. Can you tell me a little bit about them in general?
I think it's 46 out of the 101 candidates are female, and a lot of them young females. We have so much youth and vitality in the party right now that it's just amazing. You saw that at convention. A lot of young women, a lot of young blacks speaking, young Hispanics. And so the Republican Party is being reborn right in front of our eyes by people who were never Republican before. We've got a lot of walkaways who are Democrats that walked away from the party. They are running as Republicans, females, and so Isabella Solis is just one of the brightest stars. Dina Vargas in the South Valley of Albuquerque. Isabella is in Doniana County, and so we're just finding that the other party is walking away from its people and its values, and so those people with that are pro-life, that they value truth, that they value honesty, uprightness. They're simply walking away from the Democrat Party and they're joining us and many running for office. But we've got a lot of fabulous female candidates running.
Well, I think that's got to encourage just people in general, men and women, because not only is voting important, which I'm going to ask you to emphasize here in just a minute, but people that want to be involved in the process of leading our state, it's an important thing for them to run for office, isn't it?
It is. We've got three black candidates running right now as Republicans. Again, we haven't found that. Even beyond the three candidates, we've got about a dozen or more blacks across the state who are saying, wait, we're tired of being left out of the conversation. And so RPNM, the Republican Party of New Mexico, is scheduling them for TV, for radio interviews, for newspaper. We're placing their op-eds. So we're being the kind of the go-to person to give these new voices a chance to be in public. So when you have the BLM come into the state and say that we got to tear down the institutions of the past, we got to defund the police, we got to tear down the statues, tear down the memories of who everybody was, then we've got black conservative voices saying, wait, they don't speak for me. And so that's been really good. We've got a lot of Hispanic voices standing up for the first time saying, I'm Republican and I'm going to run for office, or I'm going to at least speak up as a Republican. Native Americans, you saw Myron Leiser. He's the vice president of the Navajo Nation. He spoke on the national stage at convention and was very articulate. All these voices, conservatives across the nation, beginning to stand up and speak and say, we will not go further left like Democrat Party is trying to take us.
Well, we had the pleasure, and your office has actually helped us set this up. Your good friend Mike Curtis, Stephanie Kennedy joined our she's the chairman of your Minority Political Engagement Committee for the Republican Party, and Stephanie was very eloquent on our program, really helped us. In fact, we put a quote from her. It says, "The mission of our Minority Political Engagement Group is helping minorities to be politically engaged and exercising their right to vote." How important is it for people to vote?
It's extremely important. I tell people that that government occurs by those people who show up. So sometimes you have meetings for public input, and the only voice you hear are those who show up. But then sometimes there are elections, and the people who win are elected by the people who show up and vote one direction or the other. A lot of times I hear Christians say we should not be involved in political activity, and nothing could be further from the truth in my view. Daniel did nothing but government. Mm-hmm. Joseph, sent into Egypt, into slavery, became the leader of Egypt, the administrator in charge. You know, and even Jesus, he came as a prophet, but they'd had prophets for generations before. They didn't bother killing the prophets. You can see they had this lifelong contesting with Jeremiah and Ezekiel and telling them, oh, y'all are not telling us the truth. So it was not that he's a prophet, but he began to get into the political end, saying we're going to clean this temple out and we're going to return this place to be God's house, and chase the money changers out. Began to talk against the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and those political things began to upset the structure enough. That's when they decided to kill him. And so if Christians would vote, we would control every election in the country, from school board all the way to president. But Christians typically only register in about 50% of the congregation will register, and then only about 50% of the people registered will vote. That means you have a 25% voting block. If we voted in the same percent as other groups in the country, for instance, unions, they're far fewer than church members, but they vote in very large percentages, so they outnumber Christians in the influence at the polls. And so I tell people, if you're frustrated, you just got to go vote, and this is how you do it. You vote your principles, not your party.
I love what you said. Government occurs by those who show up, and we want Christians definitely to show up and get educated. The NewMexico.gop website is a good resource for people to go to and find out everything they want to know about the candidates, compare them to the candidates on the Democrat side of the ticket, and, you know, educate yourself before the election. We are on the phone this afternoon with New Mexico Republican Party Chairman Congressman Steve Pierce. Stay with us. More to come right after these messages.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
Solving problems isn't something that you dread. It's something that you do. It's who you are. The honest truth is that anyone can point out a problem. You see this all the time at meetings. Hey, I don't like this. Hey, this isn't working. Anyone can point out a problem, but a leader does something about it. You are a CPS. Now, let's just tell the truth. I don't know many leaders, including me, for example, for years and years, who would get really excited about being in a meeting and someone says, hey, we have a problem. In the past, whenever someone would say that for me, my blood pressure might rise, my heart rate would increase, I'd brace myself. What I want to do is encourage you to adjust your mindset. Instead of panicking when you hear there's a problem, change your mindset, because problems are opportunities in disguise. Let's say it again. Problems are opportunities in disguise.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
The Great Omission. That's what one author said the Great Mission has become. Obviously not acceptable. At Star 88 and KNKT, we know this Great Mission job is one for the church. Each month we put a spotlight on a global outpost for the gospel. This month, we're featuring Slave Velashinov, serving with Calvary Church Global Missions in Croatia.
I believe that the Word of God is the only message for this broken world. The governments of this world are spending millions of dollars to cure the symptoms of the problem. And God has sent His Son to pay for the message with His blood to cure the root of the problem. And this is the sin.
In Croatia, that's Slave Velazanov in our Great Mission Spotlight on Star 88 and KNKT. Fulfilling the command of Jesus is possible in our lifetime. To support this ministry, visit star88.fm or knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Congressman Steve Pierce, the chairman of the New Mexico Republican Party, on the phone with us this afternoon. Congressman, what does a recreational weekend look like for the Pierce family?
We used to take an evening and go to the movies. Cynthia would, even back when we had our business, would say, look, I got finished a little early. Let's sneak off here and go to this 5 o'clock matinee. And so we would just take a couple hours, go do it. Occasionally would just jump in the car and drive. We will drive to, we don't even know. We don't have a destination. Sometimes we have an overnight bag. Sometimes we just drive out, maybe have dinner and drive back in. Just trying to feel that sense of freedom. You know, it's, we, during Congress, 14 years, I probably didn't take a week off most of the years, and then it was just trying to refresh, renew. And so Cynthia's always been sympathetic to that. She, if the COVID weren't here, we'd be doing a lot more traveling now, but she understands the restrictions on that. And so, she's getting a little bit stir crazy, but we love each other and love being together. So just time alone is frankly what we cherish the most.
I love it. Congressman, I know that you are very gracious. You're a person of faith, and I know that you have many friends that are Democrats. I would imagine that many of them are people of faith. How do they address right-to-life issues?
Well, it's a whole spectrum of answers to that. You get the most kind of... The most far out addressing of that question just came a couple of weeks ago from a black pastor in Atlanta running for U.S. Senate. And he declared publicly that abortion was completely in line with God's teaching and that he would continue to support abortion and teach abortion from the pulpit. And he's the pastor of a mega church in Atlanta. And so that's no small deal. A lot will say, and they kind of take a little bit of a kind of scooting back from the issue saying, well, I'm pro-life myself, but I don't think it's the government's right to tell women what they have to do. And so you have that kind of avoidance technique. Then you have some that just say, look, abortion is a good thing. The world's got too much population and I'm going to be a Christian and support abortion. A lot kind of fall into that category. So it's an entire spectrum. The ones that I feel real compassion for, Bart Stupak, again, was Democrat from Wisconsin, a friend of mine, and serving in the Congress. And when the Obamacare legislation came up, the question was on how to deal with Planned Parenthood and would they get funding or not under Obamacare. And Bart Stupak had about 11 or so Christian Democrats who just were not going to go along with any bill that put abortion in to be covered by Obamacare. So they didn't have the votes to pass it. Nancy Pelosi called Bart Stupak in, and according to all discussions, I was not in the room, but she threatened, she evidently had portfolios on two or three of the people that she had the intelligence services gather up, and she said, I'm going to make these public unless you go along with this abortion plank in the Affordable Care Act. He went along with it and brought those other 11 votes with him, and that gave them the votes to pass that. He announced he had 10,000 people show up, I think, at the airport when he flew back. Wisconsin was fairly pro-life state, and he announced when the 10,000 showed up that he would not be running for re-election, and so she collapsed his career. So it's very difficult for Democrats in elected office to be pro-life publicly. As long as they don't vote and don't say anything publicly, they probably can kind of get by without it. But Democrat Party is not friendly to pro-life advocates at all.
Congressman, this is a little bit off script, but I couldn't help but think about it because I know his children well, and I know his nephews and nieces. They were all basketball players. But I want to ask you about Manny Gonzalez, the Democrat Bernalillo County Sheriff. He has really come out pretty in an outspoken way after visiting the White House. He's very pro addressing crime and some of the initiatives that the president has offered to states, and he's really being heavily criticized for that.
Well, he's been viciously attacked by his party, and that's what the Democrats do right now. And when I say right now, both parties will kind of swing back and forth on how much they expect their members to toe the line. And Manny Gonzalez is a good man. I know him, and he's doing what he thinks right to cut the crime down in Albuquerque. And so some of the people attacking him have actually showed up doing similar things to what they're attacking him for. The district attorney there in Bernalillo County has petitioned for more prosecutors to come in from the DOJ, the Department of Justice, to come in from Washington and help prosecute because he can't take care of it. He's also asked for his prosecutors in his office to be given the right to prosecute in federal courts, because he can't get decisions from state court judges that are going to help solve the crime problem. And so seeing those actions tell you that, okay, he does one thing and maybe says another. Even Mayor Keller had asked for help. He wanted the governor to augment his police force, saying, I can't control the crime. So when the Sheriff Gonzalez had said, yes, we'll take the help, he was simply doing what other people, other elected Democrats had been doing. But they hated the fact that he sat down with Trump and talked across the aisle. So many times I say that Democrats always say we should have bipartisanship, but when anyone on their party ever tries to do that, they attack them viciously. I saw that a lot in the gubernatorial race. Democrats who long-term had supported me in my run for Congress, when they backed me up publicly as the Republican governor candidate, they were attacked. The Democrats attacked them viciously. And so many times the idea of working across party aisles is simply something that is said. And the more national you get, the higher the official, Democrats do not like it at all. So I think that was one of the main reasons for the attack.
Chairman and Congressman Steve Pierce on the phone with us this afternoon, Chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. Chairman, you've really expanded the website. Tell people a little bit about the resources available and what they can find out on newmexico.gop.
We redesigned the webpage. It was one of the big tasks that we had going forward. We felt like it was necessary to get the Republican Party into the current century, so we redesigned the web page, became much more active on social media, and so we're trying to put not only a list of the bills that come up during the session, in both Santa Fe and in D.C., but we also want to highlight every candidate there. We want to have information about voting. We, of course, have the places that you can donate to the party, and those actually work. And so we've redesigned that webpage. You were talking about Mike Curtis earlier in the program, and he redesigned that and has made it very functional. We just want it to be something to assist people who are really trying to study the issues. We don't tell people how they should act or what they should believe. But we do try to be a resource where they can come, no matter which party they're in, and find answers. I think that we, a couple of weeks ago, posted both the Republican platform and the Democrat platform, because people are saying, well, you're saying things about the Democrat platform. It's just not true. So we said, okay, we'll post it, and then you can read it for yourself. And so we want that accountability. We want that ability for people to check what we're saying. We try to cross-check everything before we post it, before we say it. Occasionally, we'll let stuff slip through, but mostly we're pretty accurate. When we go to court, court cases, we've won 6, we've lost 1, and so we do our work, and it shows in our success rate. We're doing our work right now and knocking doors. We've first of all made 1.3 million phone calls from January till now, but we started knocking doors, I think, June or so, whenever it became permissible to start circulating again. We've knocked, I think, over 250,000 doors. That number will be 1 million by Election Day. So we're doing the nuts and bolts of a campaign. When you're knocking doors, making phone calls, you're going to be successful. And so that's the reason I say we're going to elect Trump and turn the state red in this election.
And again, we want to emphasize to everybody to register to vote and to get out and vote. Last question I have, and we only have about 45 seconds, so I'm not leaving you much time on this one. How concerned are you about us protecting our borders?
It's a big concern, and especially under both Obama and George Bush, George W. Bush, it was wide open. Some places in New Mexico, it was a barbed wire fence, and that was laying on the ground. So President Trump has done a remarkable job. The illegal crossings are at a 40 or 50-year low. I forget the exact number, but he's doing a remarkable job, and it is very necessary.
Well, I so much appreciate you taking the time, and you're always contributing to our program, informing our listeners, and we appreciate your efforts very much, Congressman. Congressman Steve Pierce, Chairman of the New Mexico Republican Party, thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect.
Always happy to do it. Please call anytime you have questions.
Thank you much.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.